Okay, welcome back. This is Doctrinal Issues, and if you've been following us, definitely you agree with me that it's been really very wonderful, you know, staying with us. And we've been going deep down into the pages of the scripture. I hope your belts are tight. Maybe you fasten your seatbelt, because so that you will not be knocked off, you know, the window. Concerning this same topic we've been discussing on Judas Iscariot that revolves around eternal security. Sir, there is this thing the scripture said in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was making this comment concerning his death when he made them to understand that he would die. He said, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him." He said, "But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." He said, "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Now, I'm just looking at the weight of that statement.
Let me respond to that. You see, the word woe, you know, it's a weighty word. And I remember Paul saying, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Okay. You know, and Jesus speaking to the Pharisee too, he has been saying, "Woe unto you, Pharisee, hypocrite," and all of that. So, you know, the man who was born and he has to take the responsibility of playing that part, it is not easy. It is not. So Judas could not comprehend, you know, the weight of him being the one that have betrayed an innocent soul. It is that way that was on him that has to make Jesus to make that thing. He said, it is written and I have to die, but the man through whom that will lead to my death were unto me. It is better that he did not live. And once I marry you, to what led to how Judas have to go and then hang him? So you could just see, because what am I living for? How dare I go to betray an innocent soul? That weight of guilt was on him. But he followed every single process of repentance, and then he could not live anymore on the earth. He couldn't see himself. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines," because he has messed it up completely. What the Lord raised me up for, I did not just do it. I was busy about fighting for my girlfriend, the Philistine Colette, or one prostitute. And that's all that Samson kept doing. You know, it was not as if it was for the Lord. But all the same, when he got to that type situation, all he could do was to say, "Let me die with the Philistine." He couldn't see himself living, because that was just nothing to live for. And that was why Jesus Christ, it was better for that man that he was not born. Because how would Judas be living to carry that guilt all his life? That he was responsible for the, how will he move among the apostles? So the weight of that responsibility, what Jesus was connoting, it was better for that man because of the weight of what he has done. But again, because we have trailed the process of his repentance, we could see where that scripture is landing.
I still want to get something here. You know, the sermon is not Judas. The message we try to bring out is not about Judas. It's about eternal security of the believer. Take note that Jesus Christ prayed a prayer that you made reference to earlier. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Why did he say they don't know what they are doing? Because God is the one that was making them do what they were doing.
That's true.
Because it wasn't until that demon entered Judas. As all else he was doing, he was not himself. He didn't know what he was doing. The Jews rejecting Jesus Christ was not on their own volition. Isaiah chapter 6 was when Isaiah was giving the prophecy to go and blinding all of them. So that we can understand why Apostle Paul said blindness in part. Because they will be restored again. It's a partial something to enable us coming to wake them up to jealousy. Now, two types of sin, like I said in my message before, pardonable and unpardonable sin. Every sin you commit on earth here fall under these two, pardonable and unpardonable. Of course, you know, we have the third sin, which is unbelief, total unbelief. Then we have the pardonable and the unpardonables. Now, what I'm saying is, Judas' sin, was it unpardonable or pardonable? So why then do you doubt that his sin will be forgiven? And that, remember, that Christ was the one that prayed for him. And he was a believer of Christ. He was not an unbeliever. He believed him. He walked with him. He stayed with him. So for us to condemn Judas, we'll be condemning every one of us else. Except you believe you merit anything to have eternal life. If despite all your past, including even Apostle Paul, who was among those murdering the believers, and his sin can be forgiven, why do you think that Judas' sin would not be forgiven? And like I said, it is not about Judas. What am I trying to bring out? I don't know, maybe you have some other questions before
I would like
to link it with Saul. Because sometimes we look at the personality. We are not looking at the action that he did. The name is sounding so evil, Judas. Judas is carrying, nobody wants to answer that name. Not that the name is evil. Now, but Saul, in the case of Saul, Saul's death in 1 Samuel 31 verse 4, Saul said, then Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and toss me through, daring, lest this uncircumcised come and toss me through and abuse me. So Saul, even to the point of death, was still referring to a covenant that he had of circumcision and referring to somebody that was coming to kill him as uncircumcised.
That's right.
And because of that, he killed himself. So in agreement with what you have said, sir, we keep looking at the personality, and that is where...
Again, Judas killed himself, therefore he will have to go to hell. You just made a reference now. Samson killed himself too.
That's true.
Samson killed himself, broke those two pillars, and so that he would die together with everybody that was inside.
Even Saul himself.
Saul himself told them to come and kill him. Yes. That was suicide.
Exactly.
So we will use that as the basis to throw him to hell.
Not that he only told him to kill himself. He fell on that sword.
Okay.
So when his armor bearer saw that he has that, he too also
killed himself.
Because the other man who went to tell David was actually lying. That was not what had happened. So Saul did that. So even in there, recognize that he is an Israelite.
Yes.
He is circumcised and he's a taboo. And that was what David said when David was giving lamentation. If you read all that David said, he said the brighter side of David was of Saul. Everything he was talking about was what Saul did to them. And that nobody should talk about the ill side of Saul. He said, don't tell it at Gilboa. Don't publish it. In fact, he has to commend those people that went to make sure that they bring the body of Saul and buried it honorably.
Okay.
So they have all gone through the punishment.
Exactly.
The punishment at that time is to withdraw you from the earth, and that was just it. We come back to Corinthians, we see the same thing. You know, the man that was misbehaving with his fathers and all that. Paul says that, let his flesh be tormented, but that spirit must be saved. And when Paul was talking about, which we always tell brethren during communion, you know, we must be careful how we take the Lord's body. Because this communion thing is about the Holy Ghost-filled brethren.
Exactly.
Don't in your misconduct and misbehavior come to this table. Once you do that, you misrepresent the reason why the Lord died.
Exactly.
And the only thing the Lord will do is to withdraw you from the face of this
earth. Do that.
And that's all. But that you withdraw you from the face of this earth, human being can say you are in hell. But no. When we look at that scripture again, we'll see that you are actually being withdrawn from the earth so that you don't further continue with that activity. But the soul, the spirit rather, will be saved on that day.
Amen. Okay, Pastor Tayo from Edo State.
Okay, what I'm saying is that Judas Iscariot has a position of repentance when Peter the Apostle denied Jesus. That was told us that he wept bitterly. Judas Iscariot has a position of repentance. Because that was saying, shall we continue to see that grace, my man? If you look at the case of Cain, he did not repent. Judas himself, instead of his repenting, he cut the money down and go and hang himself. That is under he continued his sin. Can we not say, because of he was one of the disciples, he can be saved? So that is my question.
What he's trying to say is that he's trying to make it, he's saying Judas is Iscariot.
I think I got him. Okay. What you have to define Pastor Tayo.
Yes, Pastor
Tayo. Pastor Tayo, you have to define what is repentance. Because he opened his mouth and said, I have betrayed an innocent soul.
It's true.
He recognized what he did was wrong, and he did restitution by returning the money. How much more type of repentance can anyone have other than the extent that Judas went. I believe, contrary to what you understand, I believe that Judas repented, he regretted his actions.
Also that he was sorrowful, and then he was saying, you are saying that Peter wept, you know. Peter wept when he realized that he had denied Christ. The same way Judas, as soon as he realized he has betrayed an innocent one, the issue is not weeping with tears. He went to tell them that this man is an innocent soul and I betrayed him. And this money that you gave me for doing that thing, take your money back. If that is not repentance, I don't know what repentance is then. Because everything that godly sorrow, for somebody to be sorrowful, for somebody to be pained for what is action, Judas has followed all that process. And that is just it. So we cannot say that Peter repent and Judas did not repent. Both of them repented. And one even showed it by his action. By making sure that whatever it is the proceed of that is action, he has returned it. And the Bible scripture says that Judas repented. In fact, somewhere in the book of Matthew said he repented.
He repented him. Yeah, the Bible says he repented him. Yeah.
Okay. Let me not add because that is saying I said it all. But just to give this scripture, that same Matthew 27, just as you are telling us, sir, I think Judas was acting based on to fulfill a scripture.
Sure.
If he had not returned that money, Jeremiah's prophecy would be left handed. Then let's just study. But I was going to say something before the call. William Brown taught in the seed of the discrepancy, let me put it that way, that Judas was that seed. Judas did not have faith. Judas went to hell. Judas was not a believer. But in previous sermons of William Brown taught again that Judas was a disciple. Judas had the Holy Ghost. He even said Judas went to heaven. Now, how do we place it, sir?
No, Judas didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
But Judas had eternal life. Now, whatever statement William Brown makes, don't quote William Brown as if it is another Bible. Uh-huh. Because we will look at the scripture, whatever anybody says, we weigh it in the light of the scripture. Now that we are seeing clearer and clearer now, it's left for you to take either of the dual statements and hold on to it to encourage yourself.
Okay,
and
sir.
Of course, you know, within that, let's even look at that matter. You know, we keep making emphasis on Judas kill himself. Judas kill himself. Judas, it is himself he killed. He did not kill anybody. Under the law, there are quite countless of them that we could look at and see that, you know, they got to a certain stage. We look at Samson, we look at Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Saul actually fell on his own sword, you know, because Gentile must not come and touch him. At that situation, there was nothing he could do, and that he begged his armor bearer to kill him. The armor bearer, if he kill him, he will have committed murder. He will never, he dare not do it because that was the Lord's anointing. And David had to deal with a man who came and said he taught the Lord's anointing. And Saul cannot see himself being killed by his uncircumcised Philistine. So they take that action in defense of who they are. And in the circumstance where they found themselves. So you did not harm anybody. It is only as he has harmed somebody that could have been a sin imputed on him. But the level of his remorse, the highest you can go is that, look, I'm not worthy of living anymore.
Exactly.
He did not harm anybody, so we cannot look at it. Nowhere in the law you can say that, okay, he took his life, and therefore he is going to be punished for it. It is only when you take somebody's life that you are punished for it. But Judas did not just take his life out of form. It is the ultimate price he pays for his remorse.
Okay, okay. You know, sir, this very statement, remember, you made it clear that it's not just all about Judas.
Yeah.
But it's all about eternal security. And we are also trying to look at the lineage of Abraham. The Bible spoke of the promise being of Abraham. And the Bible said that all Israel shall be saved. And I guess that's why you made it clear that so long as that statement is, then Judas falls into it. We came to understand that Judas is of Israel. Now there is something that just came up we are trying to look at. The Bible in Hebrew chapter 12 called Esau profane. He called Esau profane. Then looking at that lineage of Abraham, the promise came through Isaac, Jacob. Where do we place Esau? You know, since he was circumcised also.
Yes, you know, again we see go back to the same issue. Now, what was it that Esau did that God do not want any of us to do what he did?
Exactly.
You know, he did not place importance to what the Jewish culture placed importance, the firstborn, the birthright. You discover that even after what happened, when Isaac was speaking to him, furthermore, God says that when you come to yourself, if you break that yoke, that's him coming under Jacob, you know, because of what he has done, that is enough punishment for Esau.
Exactly.
It was enough punishment that he had to be serving his younger brother. It was enough punishment. But that act, God has always hated. Just like God always hates fornication. He has always hated that act. Till tomorrow, if he sees it in me or in anybody, he hates that act. So it has not changed the mind of God concerning the fact that you become indifferent to the things of God. So God hates that action. He has never stopped hating it. He hates idolatry that he saw in King Solomon or any other person. It is that act that God hates that he kept talking about it. But that as for Esau being a Jew or Esau being an Israelite, you cannot dispute it. He was circumcised. So he himself is a Jew. But that he has to live with the burden and the punishment of the fact that he was careless about his birthright and he lost it. So it does not imply that, okay, because of that, therefore, Esau is in all is a seed of the serpent. You cannot imply that. He himself, as a matter of fact, cried and repented and was weeping with his father as to what he had done was wrong, and the father should just find one place to bless him. But there was no blessing.
Yes.
So he has to live with the fact that he has to serve his younger brother. And that is just it.
Okay, brother Isaac from Benue State. Your name? Your own name?
The issue of internal security, when some people say something that Judas Iscariot went, that he repented. Yes, that he repented. I want to know the chapter or the verse. Yeah, that repented. So that is the area I'm having problems. I want to go
Matthew chapter 27 verse 3. The Bible said there, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. That is where you will find the scripture.
Matthew 27 verse 3. God bless you.
Okay, brother Isaac, Matthew 27 verse 3, you will see where the scripture spoke of the repentance of Judas. Okay?
I believe the scripture is becoming more clearer as we continue to talk. John chapter 13 is just coming into my mind now, and I'm reading through. John 13 let me read from verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do also as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, verse 16, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth the bread with me had lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before I come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So whatever Judas was doing was just to confirm that the Lord Jesus Christ was he that was to come.
Mm-hmm. That the scripture might be fulfilled.
That's
okay, so now concerning Judas or the children of Israel, where the Bible said that all Israel will be saved. Remember, there is also a place where the Lord Jesus Christ called the children of Israel. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil." Mm. And at times on several teachings, Pastor Moses, you've also made reference to that. Referring to it, most of the time the doctrine of the serpent seed. Now, was he really referring to them as seeds of the serpent, or was he just making an emphasis? Because he said, "If you were not of your father the devil, you would not have sought to kill me."
You know, but unless you've been able to say Peter was a devil, because Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Okay.
Once, if nobody will agree and say Peter was Satan, why not? Because Jesus said, "Get thee behind me,
Satan. Yes. But now it is an act, an evil act, make it devilish.
Okay.
It is an evil behavior that now he qualifies you with that. At that time, because of that, your action and behavior. Every time you see God, when he comes down hard, even on the children of Israel, he has to even give them over to the enemy to be punishing them. And yet in his heart, he's not happy.
Yes.
After he will even turn around and say, you people, you this nation that deal with my children, I am going to deal with you also back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is God for you. So at that point of action, the Bible, Jesus, when he said that, I thank you, Father, because you always hear me.
Mm-hmm.
But on the cross, he said, Father, why has thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. At that point, because now he is carrying the sin of the world. And the Father is of a purer eye than to behold iniquity. For the first time, the Son was forsaken. Why at that particular time he was bearing the sin of the whole soul, the Father cannot listen to him. So it's once God sees the action that was bad, so he addresses it by its own name. He called it. That doesn't mean that individual is that thing. Or else now we will agree that Peter was a Satan. Because that was what he called him, but he was not. But that he acted in a satanic way, in an act that only Satan can do. And already Jesus said, I have prayed because Satan is designed to sift you as a wheat. That was his intention. He got the better part of Peter and then he began to oppose the scripture that Jesus must not die. Jesus must not die. Far be it from me, you can never die. And for anybody to be saying that, when that was the will of the Father for Jesus to die, and here is Peter coming to oppose the will of God, that he will not die. But you see, from a moral standpoint, oh, what a zealous man Peter was. What a wonderful brother, protecting his master. But no, that was not Jesus. He quickly addressed the matter. Even in the garden, when he cut off the ear of somebody, Jesus picked it and he said, if you keep going like this, you will die by this one sword. Because nobody can oppose the will of God, no matter how we don't like it.
Okay, brother Ubong from Cross River, you are there.
Professionally, concerning this Judas also, I want to ask, since we believe as sisters that there are anybody that takes this side is committing suicide.
Sure.
Then after we reconcile that for Judas taking his own life, is it not suicide? And if we give Christians taking our life now is sin against God, then how mean is it? Can we not say that you are taking your own life is also a sin and that it will not make heaven? That is my question, sir. Thank you.
Ubang, God bless you. I want you to take note the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they did not have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. And so, but we have the Holy Ghost now dwelling in us. And the Holy Ghost dwelling in us will restrain us from going that far. No true Christian that has the Holy Ghost will take his life.
Sure.
Because there is a restraining spirit in you. Apostle John told us that he that is born of God does not commit sin. Because the seed of God remaineth in him. Therefore, he cannot commit sin. So we are under two different dispensations. Now you cannot. It's not even possible. You can't even kill another person. Talk less of killing your own self. Now, by the restraining spirit that dwells in us, that is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
You know, to add to this thing, you know, again, we will still look at the scripture, you know. You are taking of life, or somebody taking his own life, under what circumstance, and for what reason do you do that?
No, I think what he wants to say is,
okay,
that means any Christian
can just wake up and take his life.
Frustrated. And wow. Take his life and still be in heaven.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm trying to say. That's why I say, no true Christian can do that, because now the Holy Ghost will restrain you from doing it. The Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart,
okay,
that I may not sin against thee. That is why I made reference to what Apostle John said.
You know also that if you look at it also, look at Brother Brown, for example.
Yes.
You know, he got so frustrated with life, he actually picked a gun. He put it and pulled the trigger. Except for God. Except for God. He came and climbed a pole and then held it in. Except for God again, he could have also gone.
Yes.
And under what circumstance was he doing that? You know, but that same man who could do that, he will not want to shoot another person.
No.
He will not want to, no matter how frustrated he is about that. It was the limit he has gone. And like our brother is saying now, so at that point, God will not even let you go to that because of the ministry that we are under today, the new covenant.
Exactly.
So God will not let you go to that. But that, will a believer be so frustrated, be so pained until you are already thinking of suicide? It always comes as a temptation, but God will always come on the scene to prevent that situation. Exactly.
That's why he's our comforter. That is why the Holy Ghost is called a comforter. He will comfort us. He will never let you go. No true Christian will God ever allow to go and commit suicide.
We strongly believe some people are already getting it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Becoming clearer.
Very clear.
And these scriptures, I'll need you to please explain. It's clear, but just for the purpose of those that might have it in mind. I came across the scripture also in that same John 13. The feet washing.
Oh, yeah.
There's one very strong significance about the feet washing.
Sure.
And Jesus Christ gives us this example. Now, verse 7 and 8 is where I'll read. Now, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, sir, does this scripture say that Judas actually had a part with him because Jesus Christ
washed, he washed his leg too.
Feet of Judas.
But if you read further too, he said, "You are all clean except one."
Wow. We didn't see this coming.
Okay.
We didn't see this coming. We didn't see this coming. When we had that, we didn't see this coming. Brother Thomas from Bayelsa. You are
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
My question is that you said Judah is among the 12. In the among the 34 elders on the throne, Judah is among them. My question is that if the Apostle Paul is only the messenger, is not apostle, because if the Apostle Paul is joining them now, there will be a 25 elder. But if the Apostle Paul is not the elder in heaven now, my question is, you Apostle Paul laid some foundation which you have built upon today. I want to balance it for me. Because as I was saying now, that Apostle Paul was the messenger. He cannot be apostle at the same time. And you said that
messenger.
Yeah. But Apostle Paul has left some foundation that the wish you have given what to do. That I want to declare. Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm not sure you are understanding me. I am looking at two ministries here. You have rightly said it, that if we accept Apostle Paul as one of the 12 apostles, then in Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders will now become 25. So you agree with me that Apostle Paul cannot be there because we already have 12 disciples. Yes, but Apostle Paul is also an apostle by virtue of his ministry. He was in the era of the foundation laying part of the ministry. Remember that the building of the church of Jesus Christ was going to take a particular period of time according to God's agenda. And I'm saying that God has placed his workmen in different positions. And for those 12 disciples, they had their part to play. And then we have 7 star messengers for each age, which Apostle Paul, we all know, began those to be the light bearers, the star messengers. For, you know, he started it. And he became the reference point. Yes, but he also, because his ministry also started at the beginning of the building of the Church of Jesus Christ, his part was also apostolic. That is why he was called the apostle. He referred to himself as an apostle. But he is not in the order of the 12. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay, Brian Gabriel, you came up with a scripture and...
I was going to bring up another scripture because you gave a big blow on this John 13.
We didn't see this. I wasn't expecting this.
Okay.
It's getting clearer.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yes, Brother Nduka from Spain. You're on air.
Shalom, shalom, Pastor.
Shalom.
What I want to say, as people are condemning Judas Iscariot, if actually, according to the scripture, Judas Iscariot repented. If he didn't repent, as Jesus Christ went to the head to preach to Old Testament saints, I believe that Judas Iscariot will still accept Christ. This is my contribution.
That's a very interesting one. That's a threat because you believed him anyway.
Yes, of course.
Okay, God bless you. Souls that are in prison. Yes.
Okay, now, Brother Nduka.
Yes, Nduka.
His statement is actually connecting with what I was saying. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, that was the arrest of Jesus Christ. And when they came to him, Judas gave them a sign from verse 48, what they should do. Now in verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Now he called him friend. Then somewhere in John 15:13, he said, No greater love can any man show than to lay down his life for his friends. Now, sir, this scripture, of course, if Judas sees his friend coming now to preach, he will accept him.
Yeah.
Does this scripture support?
More than support. Because all the apostles were his friends.
They are calling us servants.
He's a blood servant.
The servant doesn't know what his master is doing.
Yes.
And so I call you friends.
Yes. And no greater love had no man than a man will lay his
I think we can still go on and on and on and on. But at least the message must not be lost on the people that
exactly.
We have just looked at the worst extreme case. To see that even on that one, God
that's
can show mercy. You know, if you really keep God, you look at David, you know, if you look at his life, what he did and all of that, even David himself quoted the law to say that the man who did this thing will die and must restore fourfold. And that was what the law said.
Yes.
But again, he was repenting at the same time. And then God says that you will not die. But now I will punish you in this way. All the same, you know that. So now, when God wants to deploy his mercy, that is why we see they keep saying the sure mercy of David. The level of mercy David received, you know, you will see as if he's breaking some law that God have laid down. But you see, God has the prerogative. He's sovereign, and that whatever he decides to do on one man, you cannot query his action. So I think that is the import of the message of eternal security. That God give you eternal life is not that he didn't know what he was doing before he now start gambling about it. Once he call you, once he give you this eternal life, and once you have come into that, for like the Israelites, no matter what they have done, the worst God does to them is to kill them, is to destroy them, is to make sure that they leave the earth. But that doesn't mean that he does not have them in his mind. No matter what he does to them, he always come back to them. So that we put it straight, that even now, no matter what you do, even as a believer with the Holy Ghost, he only withdraw you from the earth. That's why you sleep. He said, that's why many of you sleep. It was clear what Paul was saying. Many of you sleep. The extreme of case that you are in the church, you are sleeping with your father's wife and whatever it is the situation is. Because God has already foreknew you, he can only withdraw you. You have lost the responsibility you will have further continued to do on the earth. He recall you home. And then his work continue because he would like his work to continue in purity and in holiness. When once he has already called you as a son, it's not like the natural father. You know, the moment you see that, you cannot say this is not my son. Because it's not about you saying it's your son. It is about the fact that your blood flows in that child. And that is the issue. It's stronger than when, don't call me your father. Don't call, I'm not your son anymore. You can say all of that out of anger, out of displeasure, but if they do the DNA, they will still find your blood inside of that boy. So there's nothing you can do.
Okay, from Sister Praise from Makurdi.
Okay.
You're on air.
I am Sister Praise from Makurdi.
Okay.
Sister, I want to ask a question.
Go on.
Please, if since Apostle Maru Yam.
Brother.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Is
not an apostle. Who then is an apostle in this our age?
Okay, Sister Praise, all the way from Makurdi, Nigeria. Here, yeah. I think we have explained that. You know, to let you know that Brother Abraham was a prophet, and in his own case, not just a prophet of the fivefold ministry, was a dispensational prophet. We thus said a lot to his children in this age, come back to the apostolic doctrine. So he pointed us to the apostolic faith. He is not an apostle because he did not come to lay any foundation. God bless you. And thank you very much for recognizing my ministry. But if you call me a great man of God, then you have to let me know what makes one a great man of God before I will accept that commendation. Thank you very much.
But Abraham from Bielsa.
Yeah.
Your name.
Yeah, well, I wanted to contribute. Shalom, first of all.
Shalom.
I greet everybody here. My contribution goes this way. And on the issue of Judas Iscariot, I come to understand when the bomb blast came up. When the bomb blast came up, I realized and went through some study, then I realized that some scripture who can help us to know more things or to understand some things, which is Acts chapter 1 verse 25 and Acts chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. Also John chapter 13 verse 18. Or Psalm 41 verse 9. So those scriptures, I believe, even that is little in the mystery that can help us to understand the mystery of the Judas Iscariot issue. So, at this point, I wanted to follow this way and ask one question again. That when you are back from Israel, you said, and there's a Jewish person in this time that are filled with the Holy Ghost that will come and dedicate the temple with us here in Nigeria. So I am a little confused here that if any Jewish person can have Holy Ghost at this great time, so sir, put more light so that I will be glad.
God bless you, Brother Abraham from Bielsa. The 120 that were in the upper room, they were all Jews. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believed. They were all Jews. God always has his remnant. Even now, there are Jews that are believing, but on a general scale, they reject him, but he has his elect here and here that believe. And they are known in Israel as the Messianic Jews. They believe that the Messiah has come in Christ Jesus. So they are there, yes, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and preaching grace. They don't go to the Sabbath, they don't observe Sabbath, because they know Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ. So they are there. I had the privilege of meeting them in Israel. So it is true.
And I think Abraham like quoted some scriptures.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, which has to do with the position of Judas that was taken.
His bishopric.
Both from Psalms and then all through. So that's just the scripture that is just a confirmation of the scripture. Because he's now late, definitely the 12 has to continue. So one was replaced, which is Matthias, and then the ministry continued with the same 12.
Yes.
So, and that is just about the emphasis there.
Okay. Sir, I would really appreciate God. I still have some questions. I'll ask this now. You have always taught on wheat and tares, Pastor Moses. Now, how do you place this understanding, this revelation of Judas, in the doctrine of wheat and tares? Because somebody might be listening to that sermon and he would need you to correct.
I am also aware, somebody called me. I mean, he may be listening now. I think Joseph Idachaba. Idachaba is your name, from Abuja, where he also mentioned that in a great house, there are so many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. But I quickly answered that you should note that it is the man that brought them. The householder is the one that brought them. Now, but in the case of the wheat and tares, it was the enemy that planted the tares. So the foundation of God standard, sure, God knoweth them that are his. And that is how he deals with his own.
And you know also that the whole thing is not about a God who is having his children and is always waiting for the next mistake and then he crushes
it. Exactly.
We don't want to paint that picture because the scripture didn't paint that picture.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that it's joy in heaven
one
over
sinner.
One soul, one sinner that turns and receives God.
Yes.
And the Bible also says that it is not the will of God that any should perish.
Yes.
So that we must know this is the mind of God. You know, heaven can accommodate all of us. There is nobody that, it's not as if there is no space in heaven. Therefore, God wants to reduce the place. He is sovereign, he is the Lord, he owns all things, but he has a principle. And he has a law, he has a rule, he has where he has placed things to be. So how I wish, he told Israel, said, how I wish you choose life. I didn't want to see myself beating you every now and then, just clearing you out of the way. It is not, in fact, in the book of Isaiah, he said, I have flogged you until there is nowhere to flog you. After doing all of that, he said, okay, come now, let us reason together.
Mm-hmm.
He has dealt here. He said, I have flogged you just about everywhere in your body that is wound, and there is no way for me to beat again. And they were in that their stubborn state. He said, okay, come, let us reason together. That is a father.
Okay, let's say something maybe Wesley may have made a comment on it. Maybe I would really love to hear your own comment too. Now, once you are saved, forever you are saved. Eternal security. Now, where do you place work out your salvation?
With fear trembling and trembling.
Now, you see, that scripture did not say work for your salvation.
Okay.
Nobody can work for his salvation.
That's true.
That's why people bring works and want to justify themselves. Again, it brings us to this matter again. You want to bring works and say you are safe.
Mm-hmm.
No. Work out, express it out, show it out.
Mm.
It's different from you are working for it. But because you are saved now, by your life and by your work, you are expressing your salvation.
Uh-huh. Make
expressing
it clearer.
It.
Uh-huh. You're bringing it, yes. Expanding.
You express it.
Mm.
You're expressing that you are saved. So it is when you know from what was I saved. If I was saved from sin, now I am saved from sin to live for God. So I'm expressing my salvation. I'm expressing that is life. That's what I'm doing. So walk out, work it out, express it. But in doing so also with trembling, with godly reverence.
Exactly.
You don't do it arrogantly. You don't go about putting your chest where I'm saying my life. No.
God bless us. We have come to the end of this live broadcast on Doctrinal Issue. Just stay tuned to Bright TV. Issues like this will come up and will get you informed. God bless you.
God bless you once
bless
again.
You.
Thank you very much for taking time to listen to us. Go to our tape archives and you will hear more of such deep revelations in this entire message that we have. I'm a familiar face on this station and I'm happy that we can say something here that can bless you. Pastor Weston flew from Jos to Lagos just to be part of this program. Well, thank you very much for the time taken.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. See you again when Doctrinal Issues will come to discuss more doctrinal issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.